Good evening. We welcome you to our Ash Wednesday service. Ash Wednesday is, the service is probably one of my favorite of the year. I think it's probably one of the most needful in the American church. One way you can think of Ash Wednesday is a gathering together and we reminding each other that one day we too will die. And that we too will have a funeral service for us, a memorial of life ceremony, and that this temporal life has a expiration date. We all hope it's as long as possible, but the fact of the matter is, we know that it is, as the scripture said, appointed unto man once to die. And so we will walk this path, and Ash Wednesday is a service that developed early in the church, about the officially about the 7th century, maybe a year, a century before, where Christians would gather together and begin the Lenten season to prepare the 40 days as we march together toward that Easter morn. We will have communion tonight. We will have singing tonight. You may remember that there's only one service in the year where we don't have communion. Do you remember what service that is? Good Friday. And on Good Friday, when we come together, we will not have communion that night. But I think it's so important in the midst of confessing that we are mortal, that we are ashes and to dust, and to dust we shall return, is in the midst of that to celebrate the Lord's Supper, for it is truly the last word. The ashes are not the last word. This table in the gift of Jesus Christ is the last word. I like to think, and you can ponder this as we go through, because tonight's service is mostly reading. Hopefully every one of you picked up some reading. You will just simply respond with C for congregation. The hymns, of course, are self-explanatory. And then before the communion, somewhat as a sermon, we are going to read responsively Psalm 31. If you have not heard, the call came out from an archbishop of the Russian Orthodox Church and a Orthodox rabbi calling on people of faith around the world, drawing from the Judeo-Christian heritage, to read together at our services today Psalm 31 in honor of what's going on, in recognition of what's going on with just the horrific nature in the region around Ukraine. As I've read this through today, and I've used it in a couple services already today, it just strikes how fitting it is for the current situation in the Ukraine, but how messianic it is, for it points to Christ. And as you get the ashes, and as you go home, as you reflect upon it, and I know most of you have had ashes imposed upon you before, I think it's a perfect picture of the distinction of law and gospel. Because the law kills. We are all sinners. We fall short of the glory of God, and the wages of falling short is death. And you will have ashes placed upon your forehead. That is the law. But the gospel is a pure grace that's offered to us freely in Christ Jesus, because you will receive not only ashes, but the ashes you receive will be the form of a cross. And it's under that sign that we find our joy. Before we begin, any questions about logistics or any particular pertinent prayer request anyone would like to lift up? Yes?
I just left the Rogers house. You could pray for Rogers family.
Wade
Rogers passed away on Sunday.
Wade, the whole Rogers family. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anyone else? Mm-hmm. Let's go to prayer, and then we'll begin our worship. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for the beginning of a path that your people from multiple traditions around the world will be recognizing together as we focus our thoughts, our worship, our activities, our giving, our prayers, all centered upon the sacrificial gift of one who gave himself for us. We thank you that in the midst of our turn to sin, our rebellion against your love and against your grace, that you loved us so that you sent your Son to be a propitiation not only for us but for the sins of the world. This gift is worthy of far more than 40 days of reflection. But these 40 days, I pray, will be a good beginning as we reflect upon the gift that you have given us, the suffering that he endured, and the life that we have through him. We pray that we would have the presence of your Spirit illuminating your word tonight. May we, through word and song and sacrament, be moved by the gift of your love. We thank you that your watch care extends to all of us, and we pray for those that are hurting, those that we know. We think of the Rogers. We pray that you'll just draw close. We pray that you would also be with those that we don't know, but our hearts go out to those men and women, boys and girls, dear people that are experiencing such tragedy. We just pray that in solidarity with them, that Christians around the world will beseech the Father of us all to show grace and mercy. And in the midst of our suffering, we can hold to the hope that because of Jesus Christ, suffering is redemptive. And we'll give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. Be with our service tonight, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. As before we begin the call to worship, I greet us in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, it is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus said, if any would come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me.
Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God.
Lord, we believe. Help us in our unbelief.
Thank you.
confessing our sins to God the Father, and appealing to Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Almighty God,
we confess to you that we are by nature sinners and unworthy, and that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves.
We have received your many blessings with a lack of gratitude, and have failed to be good stewards of your creation. We have followed our own selfish will and ways, and have failed to be your trusting and obedient servants.
Have mercy on us, Lord.
We have not forgiven others as we have been forgiven, and have failed to be your witnesses in the world.
Have mercy on us, Lord.
We confess to you, Lord, all our unfaithfulness, our fear, our anger, our pride, and our trust in our own righteousness. We confess to you, Lord, our lack of concern for the needs of others and our sense of entitlement to all we possess. We confess to you, Lord, our negligence in worship and our rejection of your word in our lives. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us.
Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Give us the joy of your saving hope again, and sustain us with your bountiful spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
children of a fallen humanity, each of us shares in the consequences of human sin. In the words that the Lord first spoke to Adam, he now reminds us all, "By the sweat of your brow you shall eat bread until you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return." Therefore, face to face, in the presence of God, we offer our confession in the spirit of our ancestor Job, who prayed,
"I have heard you by the hearing of your ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes."
As a sign of repentance, all may come forward to receive the mark of the cross and ashes on their brow. I think that we will partake of class, which means why don't the first three rows come and line up? We'll administer the imposition of ashes. You can return to your pew, and then the balance of the church congregation come forward. So let us come forward.
Thank you.
Accomplish in us, O God, the work of your salvation.
And that we may show forth your glory in the world.
By the cross and passion of your Son, our Lord.
Bring us the glory of saints to the glory of his resurrection.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. By his Holy Spirit may he grant you true repentance, that you may live with him in righteousness and purity forever, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
You'll join with me as we prepare for the sacrament of the table in somewhat of our word and a brief reflection on the word. Let us use Psalm 31, which you should have attached, by a whole verse responsibly. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness.
Incline your ears to me, and make haste to deliver me.
Be my strong rock, a fortress to save me, for you are my rock and my stronghold. Guide me and lead me for your name's sake.
Take me out of the net, and put it in secretly for me, for you are my strength.
Into your hands I commend my spirit, for you have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth.
I have heard those who believe the word of silence. I put my trust in the Lord.
I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy, for you have seen my affliction and known my soul in adversity.
You have not shut me up in the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in an open place.
Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye is consumed with sorrow, my soul and my body also.
My life is wasted with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength fails me because of my affliction, and my bones are consumed.
I have become a reproach to all my enemies, and even to my neighbors, an object of dread to my acquaintances. When they see me in the street, they flee from me.
I am forgotten like one that is dead out of my mind. I have become like a broken vessel.
For I have heard the whispering of the crowd, fear is on every side. They scheme together against me and plot to take my life.
But my trust is in you, O Lord. I have said you are my God.
My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me.
May your face to shine upon your servant, and save me from your mercy's sake.
Lord, let me not be confounded, for I have called upon you. But let the wicked be put to shame. Let them be silent in the grave.
Let the lying lips be put to silence, that speak against the righteous of arrogance, disdain, and contempt.
How abundant is your goodness, O Lord, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared in the sight of all for those who put their trust in you.
You hide them in the shelter of your presence from those who slander them. You keep them safe in your refuge from the striking tongues.
Blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his steadfast love when I was as a city besieged.
I have set in my alarm. I have been cut off from the sight of your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my prayer when I cried out to you.
Love the Lord, all you his servants, for the Lord protects the faithful, but repays to the full the proud.
Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait in the Lord.
Amen. The word of the Lord. As I've read this several times now today at different settings, every time I'm struck with how appropriate it is, and I can understand the call out of Ukraine for what's going on there. It's quite appropriate. But I've also been moved with how messianic it is, how appropriate it is for Ash Wednesday, how much it speaks of Christ. Sherry and I use as part of our devotions journal that many of you use, The Upper Room. And I've noticed that there's been several reflecting on the beautiful picture on the front of The Upper Room this 2 months. It's a picture of the prophecy fulfilled of Jesus Christ. It's a picture of hands washing above a basin feet. We assume we know the characters. Whose hands do you think they are? We know from John 13, it was Jesus. He is the one who got up and continued in the humiliation of doing that which we could not do for ourselves. We failed again, even in the upper room, for no one did that simple task, and he humbled himself to do it. But whose feet do you think they were in the portrait? I pondered that through today.
Ours.
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 First I thought Peter, because he's the one that's sort of the main speaker. Then I thought Judas, because what an epitome of God's unconditional love for us all, that he washed even the feet of his betrayer. But then, as I've reflected on it, it's even me. He came for the sick and the needy and the sinner, the unclean and the dying. This reminds us of our mortality. We too will one day lay down in the grave, silent as dust. I'm privileged to spend a good portion of my time with people that are nearing that point in their lives. There's much wisdom there. I have quite a few hospice folk I see now, and I have 4 people that I see who are very cognitive and all well into their 90s, all devout Christians. I've asked over the last week, in preparation of tonight, just thinking of Ash Wednesday, I've asked each one of these ladies, well into their 90s, devout Christians, as you look back on your life, what one aspect of God are you most grateful for? And I was surprised in their responses in twofold. One, they all 4 roughly said the same thing. And all 4 surprised me because I know them as very devout, pious, wonderful Christian ladies. Without hesitation, each said that the thing that at the end of their lives they will thank God the most for is for his absolute forgiveness of their sins. Brothers and sisters, as we gather here tonight, as we face our own mortality, I think we would issue forth a hearty amen that that which we are most grateful for is God's absolute forgiveness. The taking of our sins upon himself so that through him we can receive the cleansing in his forgiveness and pure righteousness. That is our hope and our confidence. And that is what gives us, in the midst of the mortality of life, the promise, the sure promise, that we step from this plane into that beautiful expression of seeing our Redeemer face to face. For our Redeemer lives. Amen. Let us approach the table.
Join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Creator God, we lift our hearts to you. because you made the universe from nothing and formed human beings in your image from the dust of the earth. In Adam you saw your hopes for creation turn to ashes, and yet in Abraham and Moses you called a people out of the wilderness and slavery. You showed your face to your people in exile, and in Christ the new Adam you raised your children to new life out of the ashes of sin and death. And so we gladly praise and thank you with angels and archangels in the company of heaven, singing your unending praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Redeemer God, over 40 days you flooded the earth. Over 40 years you led your people through the wilderness. And over 40 days your spirit drove Jesus through the desert of temptation. Bless us through the sustenance of this food and drink to profess your Son's death and resurrection. Send down your Holy Spirit that we may come to follow our crucified and risen Savior, and that this bread and that this cup be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. As we gather, we who supper with his disciples, as he that evening took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again."
Sanctifying God, where your children are in the wilderness, lead them to your heart. Where your people are hungry for you, give them practices of fasting and scripture reading, and almsgiving and repentance and prayer. Where your followers know beatings, imprisonments, hardships, and calamities, visit them with the comforting power of your presence. Raise up the glory of your resurrection from the ashes of our pride and sloth and greed, that all your church and the whole creation may celebrate the wonders of your love until the day when every eye shall see you and every tongue shall praise you, and you are all in all, ever one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Perceptive listeners, and you are that, will notice that during the imposition of ashes, I didn't call your name. And I make a point, as you well know, during every partaking and receiving of the Lord's table, to call you by your given name. No titles, no status, but your name. The reason is quite simple for both. The admission of your name at Ash Wednesday, much like the book of Ecclesiastes would say, that is, in death, we all just are one. We are all, the rich and the poor, the man of good report and the man of ill report, the one of good reputation and the one of poor, alike are forgotten in a fortnight's time. But our hope in the midst of our physical death is that while we may be forgotten as far as our body is concerned, our name is remembered. in Christ Jesus for all eternity. Etched, Isaiah would say, in the palm of his hand. Even though mother and father, family member, brother or sister, or anyone else would forsake us, the Lord will never forsake us. He remembers us in Christ. So we come forth, those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to remember Him, to receive His very body, His very blood. This is the gift of eternal life given to all who love our Lord. Come and receive together. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for your identification with us in life and in death, your perfect obedience, both actively and passive, your tasting death in the valley of the shadow of death, knowing betrayal, knowing slander, knowing abuse, knowing neglect, knowing the pain of living life, knowing the loss of a dear friend, and for willingness to weep even in the face of knowing that Lazarus would be resurrected, for the pain of the loss of physical life. May we, in that story, not be distracted by many things as Martha, but like Mary, may we, in living and in dying, center on the only necessary thing, the one needful thing, and that is to adore Jesus Christ and Him alone. Thank you for the gift of your love, for the forgiveness of our sins, the comfort of our souls, and the remembering us throughout all eternity. We ask this in your holy name. Amen. Let us stand and sing together hymn 399. Let us break bread together. Amen. God bless and go in the joy of the Lord.